Welcome to Flaunt Performance, the podcast for the voluptuous runner. Our motto is all bodies are built to run. And I'm your host, Aja, and that's DJ Stat Chip on the ones and twos. How does shopping for athletic wear as a plus-size runner make you feel? Why do some heterosexual plus-size active women cross-dress? Why do athletic companies shun plus-size women? I caught up with Dr. Deborah Ann Crystal, who has dedicated her life to doing studies on these topics. And we discuss these things and more on today's episode of Flaunt Performance Podcast. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome to the show, Dr. Crystal.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, your studies on activewear in the plus size community. I read your dissertation, actually, that's called Physically Active Adult Women's Experiences with Plus Size Apparel.
Yes.
Absolutely great study. Why did you decide to study and to write about this and you're not a plus size woman?
That is an awesome question. And you know, it's funny, very few people ask me that. When I was in graduate school, I got a phone call from my mom, who had just lost a lot of weight doing yoga. And she called me in tears from a Lululemon dressing room. Oh. You know where I'm going with this. And I say, yes. Mom, what's wrong? Why are you upset? And she goes, you know, I'm a size 12. And I was so excited because I could finally fit into Lululemon and I saved up. And she goes to the store and they didn't have any 12s in the store. They had a 10 and she goes, well, okay, I'll try it. And just no way. Wasn't even close. And she said to me, I'm not even plus size and I can't wear Lululemon. What's going on? And I said, I don't know. That's a really good question. And so that is really what sort of launched this whole area for me. My doctorate degree is in women's studies and sports psychology and apparel design. And it was through my women's studies courses where I really, developed a passion for the stress that goes along with shopping when you don't quote unquote conform.
How did you even begin to understand the stress that goes along with it?
I have interviewed hundreds of plus size women and, spent several hours, doing Skype interviews, meeting person to person. And so what I'll do is, interview, record the interview, and then transcribe it. And it's through listening and rereading those that I feel like I've really got a solid understanding of the frustration.
Have you ever experienced, it doesn't have to be just trying on clothes, have you ever experienced the level of frustration that comes along with being a plus size woman trying to shop, especially for activewear?
Sure. I don't think that I've ever directly experienced it because I'm privileged, height, weight, proportionate. I've got it really easy when it comes to shopping. But I've gone with girlfriends and like I've said, my mom calls me all the time. Where can I find this? Where can I find that? So, indirectly I can absolutely relate. And I think some of the feelings that they have and emotions that they experience, while I haven't had those in the same situation, I've definitely, experienced those emotions before. So in that way, I feel like I can understand it.
I interviewed someone who is not in the active wear end of plus size, but she used to be a plus size model. So she and she's a pioneer in plus size modeling. And she stated during our interview that companies, people just don't want to see plus size models. People don't want to see themselves as plus size, even if they are plus size. Do you think that's one of the reasons why fitness apparel companies don't offer many plus size options because it'll ruin their image?
Yes, absolutely. I think there is incredible weight bias in the fashion industry and even more so in the athletic fields because we have this cultural assumption that there's no way you can be overweight, obese, or plus size and be an athlete, which is just absolutely false. I know many women that are large and that are active and that are healthier than some of my skinny friends who spend all day on the couch eating Cheetos. Do you know what I mean?
I definitely do.
So I think, yeah, and I've even heard people in at fashion companies say, we don't want to condone obesity. And we feel like if we offer clothing, you know, to plus size people, then we're saying that it's okay. And my response to that is, you're just making it worse. Like, people want to be active. I think that if you are comfortable both physically and psychologically, then you're more likely to continue with an activity. There's a term that we use in academia, and it's called a positive movement experience. And the theory is that if you have a positive experience with physical activity, you're more likely to do that activity again and build a relationship with it. If you have a negative experience, you're probably not going to want to do it again. And I think that clothing can really contribute to that. A couple of the women I've talked to really loved yoga, but they would never do it in public because their shirt would always fall up and over their head. And when they were changing positions, they'd have to adjust their pants. And I think that if you're a designer, it's not that hard to design something that stays in place. But so I think that these women would do yoga in public, and then they could also build that sort of group accountability. I mean, we're humans. We're meant to be together, not, you know, at home hiding our bodies, I think. So, yes, I think that clothing can greatly contribute to having positive experiences with exercise that help you create good relationship with it.
There are so many women, plus size women, who do exercise, who are athletes, mm-hmm. but because they don't have clothes, I'm assuming that they or we find other things to have positive experiences with when it comes mm-hmm. to exercise. What are some of those things that women, plus size women generally say, okay, I can't find clothes, but I'm going to find a positive experience with this?
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think of a couple examples, but a large portion of plus size women kind of say, you know what, F it. If I want to go swimming and I can't find a swimsuit, I'm going to make it work anyways. So, this one lady I interviewed, she had a sports bra, a t-shirt, and she would wear cargo shorts. And that was her swimsuit because she loved being in the water. So I think that women, our plus size women, and really I think women in general, are incredibly resilient, and that if they want to do something, they're going to figure out a way to do it. So, and you know, whether it's working out at home in something that's not as cute as they would want it to be, or just saying, you know what, I'm going to go out in public and not wear a swimsuit, but I'm going to wear what I can and still engage in exercise. So a lot of plus size women are kind of just doing it anyways.
How do stereotypes that overweight people are unmotivated and lazy impact the way that they are treated by fitness trainers and fitness professionals?
You know, it's absolutely horrible. Some of the studies that I've read about medical doctors, nurses, trainers, people that work with the human body actually have the most amount of weight bias towards obese people. And it just blows my mind because I'm thinking, you're experts in the human body and you're the people that can, you know, help. And here you are approaching a client with incredible weight bias. So I think it's incredibly detrimental, and the stereotypes are just not true.
What stereotypes do you think aren't true?
Oh my gosh. I've heard so many people say, well, if you're overweight, you're lazy. You obviously eat too much. You know, don't exercise, uneducated. Those are the main ones that I come across, and I know they're not true.
And then plus size women internalize that as well. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was really fascinating in a lot of my interviews, I'll ask women, you know, describe your body for me. And more often than not, women will use dehumanizing terms. to talk about their bodies. So it's my cottage cheese thighs or my spare tire roll. It's not, you know, just my legs or my stomach. And so I think that is one way that they're internalizing it and using language that dehumanizes them, which is, that makes me really sad.
Do you think that they were doing that to make you feel more comfortable in a way?
You know, that's absolutely a possibility. Some of the interviews I've done have been through Skype, but without video. But I do think you're right. There are biases that come into play when a researcher is one, you know, has one body shape and the person you're interviewing has another. That's a really good point.
I read excerpts from one of your studies in which you stated that heterosexual, active, overweight women tend to cross-dress.
Yeah.
Can you explain this?
Yeah. So I think there were about 56 women total that we interviewed. And a lot of them said, I wear my husband's, I wear my son's, or I shop in the men's department. And this was surprising to me because it's not something that I had ever done for workout clothes. But they elaborated and said, it's the only thing that really covers me because men's clothing they're a little bit boxier and tend to come in a wider range of sizes than women's clothing do. And so I just thought that was a really interesting phenomenon. And like I was telling you before, the plus size women are incredibly resilient. If they can't find something in women's, they'll go anywhere to find what they can so that they can move their bodies, which is what we're designed to do.
It seems like that would be problematic for runners, though, because the bulky clothes, that can lead to more chafing. So with running, it seems like that would be a huge issue. And I'm wondering what overweight women who cross-dress would do when it comes to running.
That's a really good question. Not very many women were runners. A lot of the ladies I talked to did yoga and swam and would walk in groups, but not very many of them ran. And I think that was part of it because there wasn't anything comfortable. Because if you're wearing basketball shorts and you run, they're going to ride up your thighs. And if anyone's ever ran and profusely sweated in a cotton t-shirt, that can chafe on you.
Yeah. And if you're overweight plus size, you can see a lot of stuff through a wet t-shirt.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That can be a headache. And speaking of which, I don't know if you studied this in your research, but the over-sexualization of plus size or curvy women, do you think that stops a lot of them from exercising in public, especially?
You know, I haven't looked much into that. There's been a lot of research about just sexualization of women in general and how that does deter several women from wanting to move their bodies in public. Because if you have larger breasts, for example, and you're running, whether you're plus size or not, people will tend to stare at you, which can be uncomfortable. And if you're running and your, you know, breasts are bouncing and your intention is not for people to look at you. Your intention is to move your body and get a good run in. So, I think that the sexualization of women is not helpful when we're trying to be active. Do you know what I mean about that?
I definitely know what you mean. And I think that there may be a flip side to that because I don't know, under sexualization. I don't even know if that's a term.
I don't know either. I don't know. But I like it.
Right.
I like it.
The under sexualization of plus size women. They're not, we're not seen as sexual beings many times or things of beauty many times or people of beauty. So I'm wondering if that prevents people from exercising in gyms, maybe.
Yeah, that could be too. And I really think it goes back to the clothing, because if you don't have feminine clothing that you like, that covers you where you want to be covered to exercise in, and then you wear men's clothing, that's absolutely under sexualizing. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I love about fashion is that when you have options, you can create any identity you want, and you can play around with different identities. So if you want to be over-sexualized, you can. If you want to be under-sexualized, you can. But what really bothers me about the fashion industry is that it's not an option for our plus-size women right now. And I just don't think that's fair, because I think that women, small, big, should have the opportunity in workout clothes or business clothes to express themselves in any way they want.
I agree. And, you know, I was shocked even trying to shop in stores that cater to plus size women. It's still very difficult to find active wear in those stores.
Yeah, because the assumption is if you're plus size or you're big, you're not working out.
Right. And there's a store not too far from me. I'm not going to mention the name, of course, but it's right across the street from Old Country Buffet and right next door to Jenny Craig. And no active wear clothes on the inside. I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah. It's like you see a commercial with a girl in a bikini eating a hamburger. It just, there's these really weird mixed messages, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One thing I got out of your study is that plus size women just want to feel normal.
Yeah.
How can beautiful, proper fitting clothes give them a sense of normalcy?
Well, right now, just based on the way our culture is set up, is that if you're plus size, you kind of feel like you're other, and that you stand out more. And I think that if everyone had access to clothing, you know, if all the brands were available in everyone's size, then because what's normal for one plus size woman could be not normal for another plus size woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So one lady that I talked to, I sent her a pair of Nike t-shirt, and for her, that felt like normal to her because she got to fit in with this group of other women that could also fit into Nike. And she was just flying so high because she fit in. And I think, you know what I mean? Humans want to be in groups and we want to feel included, and clothing can help you do that.
What happens when a woman feels abnormal?
Yeah, it can be really detrimental to a lot of things, not just your physical activity patterns. Women who feel discriminated or abnormal can suffer depression, eating disorders. There's a lot of negative psychological effects that can come along with that.
So women who are feeling abnormal because they can't find quote unquote normal clothes can cause more destruction because they can develop eating disorders.
Yeah.
So this is very deep. This is something that really needs to be rectified.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. I think it's a really serious issue. And not many people think it is, because a common conception is, well, fashion is frivolous. But it's not. Because it can impact how you feel about yourself, and how you feel about yourself impacts your decisions in life.
Do you think things are getting better?
Oh, yeah. I think they are getting better. I think, you know, Tim Gunn has been speaking out really actively, you know, advocating for the plus size women, which I think is amazing. And I think that, is it Ashley Nelson Tipton? Who did the collection with JCPenney, I think.
Sure.
Well, there's been a lot of attention about this demographic. I think it's getting better. It's not good or great, but I think it is getting better.
And Dr. Crystal, I did not know that Nike even made plus size clothes until I read your study.
Well, this was, oh my gosh, about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And they have very, very few items still on their website. I think 1% of their online merchandise for women is available in 1X, 2X, or 3X. So they have it. It's just very limited.
At the end of your study, you said you asked Nike the following questions. One, what is the reason you do not advertise for your extended line? And two, if everybody is considered an athlete, why only offer 12 items in plus size? Did they ever respond?
Nope.
So they just ignored your questions.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And it was at that point where I was trying to decide if I wanted to go into the fashion industry or if I wanted to stay in academia and do research that could really back it up. Because my dream was to design athletic apparel for plus size women.
Wow.
And it still is my dream. And Nike said, no, you know, we're fine where we are. We're not interested in, you know, advancing what we have for plus size women. And that was 4 years ago.
What steps do you think plus size women need to do to accept themselves as normal and beautiful? Because it doesn't look like the apparel industry is doing much work on that end.
Yeah. Well, I think the more that plus size women call retailers or go to retailers and do their best to confidently say, do you have this in this size? And when the sales clerk or whoever says no, say, can I make a request to your manager that you offer more sizes? Because if the retail store isn't being told that the consumer wants it, then the buyer for the store isn't going to ask the fashion companies to provide it for them. You know what I mean?
I definitely do know what you mean. When you usually go into stores, and I'm actually going to a store after we finish this interview, to get some new running shoes, but I've already had this conversation with them. When you go into stores, they usually say, okay, well, you can find this on the website, but what issue does that bring up if somebody is just directed to a website?
Well, I think it's incredibly rude because basically what they're saying is we don't want you in our store, which just goes back to the bias. And if any consumer needs to try it on, it's going to be a plus size woman who has more curves and shapes than a lot of academics are calling them straight sizes. But I don't like the division of the terms. And so what I'm trying to figure out, I wish we could just all be called women, and not have the division of the labels, but it works for now. So, oh, now I lost my train of thought. But, okay, in the store, oh, yeah, plus size women need to try it on. So if the stores are going to carry any merchandise, it should be for plus size women. I think that they're just so biased and they're not even thinking logically.
You know, it's interesting. Earlier you said that women want to just feel normal, and you giving them those Nike clothes just made them feel normal. If these retail establishments actually had these plus size clothes in their establishments, they can sell so many other things, because now I can try my pants on and I can also buy this water bottle and maybe some power shake powder or something, and just enough stuff to make me feel like, hey, I'm a real runner, or hey, I'm a real athlete too.
Yeah, absolutely. You're set. You've got all your equipment. It's a one-stop shop. And I think it's really discriminatory to sort of give a consumer no other choice than to go to four or five separate stores when they really should just be able to go to Target or wherever and get all the things they need.
Right. What impact do you think Runner's World putting a plus size runner on the cover has on the psyches of plus size women?
I hope that it's encouraging, and that, you know, other women are thinking to themselves, wow, I'm not alone. And or two, maybe this is something I can do. So I think it's confirming and then also encouraging. But I mean, I always struggle with, like, what does plus size really mean? So, you know, is she a 12 plus size, or, because I haven't seen that yet, but now I want to look it up, because I remember there was this huge thing when Sports Illustrated had the plus size model.
Ashley, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember looking at it and saying, where's the plus size model? Because she doesn't look plus size to me at all.
You want to know what defines plus size. You don't think it's, do you think that when retailers or companies say plus size and they put these models on the cover or they have these models represent their brands, they're going for the lowest plus size number as possible, like 14 or 12 or 14?
That's typically what you see. But I think that clothing should just be all together. You've got your 0 to your 36 or to your 40, and it's just all in one section.
No, that would be hot. that's a dream world for somebody. That's actually a dream world for somebody like me, Dr. Crystal.
Because I want to go shopping with my plus size girlfriends, but when we do, she's got to come with me to the stupid straight size, and then I've got to go with her to the stupid plus size, and we want to shop together.
Right. It will make the experience so much more. It's less isolating.
Yeah.
Yes, it's less isolating. And that may be, I think you hit on something, that may be why a lot of plus size women just don't go shopping. They're not interested in going shopping with their friends because they don't want their friends to have to go into I'm not going to say any companies. They don't want their friends to have to go into plus size stores because they know their friends aren't going to be able to enjoy that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is divided. And I think that, women, we love to be together and go shopping together and be like, ooh, where did you get that? I can't even tell you how many times a plus size girlfriend of mine has had on some really cute dress or shorts. And I said, where did you get that? And it's at a company that's exclusively plus size. And I'm like, oh, bummer. And then the other way around. Right. But if companies just offered their clothes to everyone, we wouldn't be having these problems.
It seems like there's a resurgence of Made in America, and women in the United States tend to be larger. Do you think that since there's a resurgence of Made in America, that maybe the clothes will start to reflect that?
Maybe. I haven't thought much about that. I do know that, like, from a business standpoint, having, Made in America is good because that means we're bringing jobs here at home. But then on the other hand, the retail price is higher.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing. There was the same thing with, buying organic cotton. People loved it, but they weren't willing to pay the premium for it.
Yeah.
So, my hope is that designers in the U.S., start recognizing their own biases towards plus size women and then actually start designing for their bodies and not what they think they should look like.
So what's in the future for Dr. Crystal as far as research?
Well, I love doing research, and I've been so privileged to be able to study this topic that, the industry didn't want, but now, there's been, a lot of talk about, how do we provide better apparel for our larger women? So as much as I love academia, I'm actually thinking about going into the industry, putting some of my design knowledge actually out into the world and not just on paper.
I think you should.
Yeah.
I think you should, because you hit on something earlier especially with the yoga. The yoga pants, they're low cut. We'll definitely talk about that. We're going to keep in touch with that, definitely. Well, how can people get in contact with you if people want to reach out to you?
Yeah, an email to my work is a great place. And you could just Google Washington State University, Deborah Crystal. And Crystal is spelled a little bit different. It's C-H-R-I-S-T-E-L. And just send me an email and I'll, get back to you. This is obviously my favorite topic ever. So I love talking about it and giving people information. So an email is the best.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Dr. Crystal. And I really appreciate the work that you're doing. I sincerely appreciate it.
Thank you, Aja. I appreciate you too. Back on the track.